This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back at St Andrews for a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff with Birmingham hosting Sheffield Wednesday, and I'm delighted to be joined by Ash, Sheffield Wednesday podcaster. How are you doing, Ash?
I'm good, thanks, Sam. Thanks for having us on. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, thanks so much for your time. And I guess we'll start off straight away with Sheffield Wednesday, how they're doing at the moment. It's not looking great in terms of the leaderboard, but we do have a bit of optimism with Sheffield Wednesday as Danny Rowell is now the manager. And from what we've just kind of spoke about in your video, a lot of the fans seem to think that he's doing the right thing. You know, you've got Roll there who's worked with Hansi Flick in the Bayern Munich surf and the Germany surf as well. And you've got Chris Powers, assistant manager, who's got plenty of experience in the game, you know, having done a similar role with England. So there is a lot of experience around the place to sort of match up with Roll's inexperience, I guess. But there is a lot of optimism around the place, isn't there?
Oh, without doubt, Sam, without doubt. He's come in as a little bit of an unknown. Obviously, he had time at Southampton, but as a first team, the man at the top, the man in charge, he has, and he's had his pedigree. Like you said, he's been an assistant at Red Bull with the German national team, Bayern Munich. So he's been around a lot better players than Sheffield Wednesday players, put it that way. And being new to the league, it was good and refreshing to see him bringing in backroom staff. Like you say, Chris Powell, he did mention when he got the job, he did want to bring someone in with experience of English football. And to be honest, Chris Powell, he's got bags of it. So really, really, as a fan base, looking forward to Danny Rowell. And obviously, he's not got the best of starts, but it couldn't have got worse than what we had previously for the previous 10 games or whatever. The name we won't mention had the job before.
We will not mention the name. The manager that was at Sheffield Wednesday prior to Danny Rowell really didn't have a great time. I think it was one of the things where he sort of came into the club and it was a bit of a thing where it was doomed from the get-go, you know, from the announcement maybe of Chancery there as well, you know, what he was saying, sort of coming out and criticising Colton Palmer, I think it was. And it was just a whole, you know, circus of things going on. So what was your sort of summary of that summer? Because obviously the manager that got you into the division departed as well.
What a summer. For obviously how it ended for Sheffield Wednesday at Wembley, it was a roller coaster just then. But then obviously that finished, summer break, coming back. And then I think, Monday night, about 6 o'clock, my phone went mental. I'm like, oh, what's happening here? We signed someone or something. It was like, Darren Moore's left his role at Sheffield Wednesday, and that was it. And then you've just lost all. We knew as fans it was going to be a hard season. We knew we had to strengthen the team. There was players that had to leave. We had to bring some players in. But with the great feeling that the club had, Darren Moore had with the fans going into this season, it was optimistic that we will stay up. A lot of fans. Podcasts and like betting and all the ones on Twitter were like, obviously, we were one of the favourites to go back down anyway. But then, obviously, Darren Moore, part of company, the owner, made his decision, a mutual decision. If he got sacked, he left, whatever the back happened on, we'll never know the true story. There's a he says, she says type of thing, my story, his story, with both of them. But he left, so we brought in Cisco Munez. I said his name. There we go. Who's had championship experience with Watford, but bearing in mind that was a team that got relegated from the Premier League. So it was a Premier League team, virtually. And he came in, and we needed a full. So we signed 13 players in the summer. I'm not under no illusions that they were not all Cisco Munez players. Obviously, the owner has his advisors that he goes on about. I mean, he's well-documented, our owner. I'm not going to go there. It's PTSD type of thing for us Wednesday fans, a lot of them. But he brought in these players, and it didn't work. 10 games he had, we failed to win one. 3 points, three draws. Three draws. Two draws, sorry. We got a draw with the caretaker, apologies. And it just didn't work. So the owner made a decision, got rid. And we're on the up at the minute, even though it doesn't look like it. The feeling amongst fans, like I said, we're on the up. So just need the points to go with the feeling.
Yeah. I think we're kind of in a similar predicament where we need the points. You know, it's one of the things where we see that the right things are trying to happen, but it's just not all clicking into place yet. And we just need a big result, really, to have that, you know, 3 points in the bank to say that, right, we're playing this way and it's actually working. So we're both in very similar predicaments. The fact that Rule and Rooney have both managed 5 games for their respective clubs. I mean, you guys have picked up a win. We haven't even got a win yet. So there's a bit more positivity for you guys. And it's one of them things where you look at sort of the all-round game of Sheffield Wednesday, where Sheffield Wednesday this season, I think, have scored 7 goals in the Championship, which is the lowest in the division, worst goal difference as well. But what have you seen since Rules took over that has given you this optimism?
I think it was night and day when he first came in. I think he was at the club for three days before his first game. So a bit harsh on him for the first game. But even in that short time, you did see, I mean, it could not get any worse. The style of play, we couldn't even decide what style of play we were playing under Cisco. He was playing players out of position. It was just, we didn't know what players, I don't think he ever knew what his best 11 or potential best 11 could be. The signings that he made, there's only been out of the 13, there's just a handful that have actually turned up or fitted and made a bit of a difference even now. So when Danny Rules come in, we were very guilty under Cisco of not having the ball. Possession stats were awful. There was 3 or 4 games out of the 10. We were at 20, early 20%, which is disgusting, really. You're not going to go anywhere. We didn't even have 20-odd% and then snatch a 1-0 win. It was constantly just dire football. And now, under the new manager, he seems to have got a more possession-based football. We seem to keep the ball a lot better. The stats for that is well improved. And it does seem more attack-minded. The way he sets up, now we're playing with two wide men, Masaba and Gassama, who are a young lad that he did play against Millwall. I've got bags of pace, very raw, but bags of pace, which up front-wise, we've lacked for a few years. It's just the focal, the top guy, whether it be in Smith or if it's a Windass, if he plays there, or Gregory. We're just lacking in that department. And it'll come, hopefully, the way that the manager wants to play and set up. It's going to take time. I say it's only 5 games, but the games are coming thick and fast and they're running out, if you know what I mean. Mm. We are where we are, and we are just desperate for wins.
It's exactly it, isn't it? You sort of look at 5 games in the Championship, so much can change in the league in that time, can't it? Like, it's such a sort of time frame where you look at the games and you look at sort of individual moments in the games and you think, like, I suppose if you do the right things for certain points of the game, it can go your way, but you need that 90-minute performance. And I think that's something that Birmingham fans have kind of thought, right, we've played well in moments, but we've not had that 90-minute performance yet. But in terms of sort of the management and the way that things are going, obviously the fans can say, oh yeah, it's positive, things are on the up or whatever, but how long does this sort of positivity turn into sort of patience and we need the results now because of look at where we are in the league? Because it's kind of what's happening with Birmingham too.
Exactly that. He got his first win against obviously the local rivals, Rotherham, who are in amongst us as well. So that was a great 2-0 winner at home, which was a massive boost. It's just, we were unlucky against Bristol City, went down to 10 men for a red card that got rescinded. And then against Millwall, we had a couple of goalkeeping errors, defensive errors, rather than we were played off the park. 4-0, it seems like we got a bit of a doing over, but it wasn't a 4-0 for me. Obviously, people disagree, but it wasn't. We didn't deserve the 4-0. I imagine he's got a few games, but then a few games, like you say. I think we've got 9 or 10 games before January. So I would hope in those 9, 10 games, 30 points, 15 points out of those would be a good one, just in the position we are at the minute. And then who knows in January? One, who knows, because our chairman, I ain't got a clue what what he's going to do or if he's got any money. We can't pay tax bills, apparently. We want £200 off every fan. That came and went. So is he going to be able to afford us to get some loans in, some Premier League loans that we're desperate for something up front, something up front?
That's it, isn't it? Because like we've been there before as well, where you've been down the bottom, chaotic owners, and you're just looking for that spark of inspiration, whether it be sort of a free transfer that comes in or just a lone player that, you know, has Premier League pedigree or something that can just drop down and then immediately start firing the goals. But I mean, with the possession stats, back to that, I did actually look into it, and I think in 3 of the 5 games that Danny Rule's managed, you've had more possession, which for a team 24th in the league, that's pretty good going. I mean, we're trying to play more of the ball, but the teams we've played against have been good championship teams. You know, every team we've played since Rooney took charge has been top half of the table. Yeah. So this is a game that Birmingham fans are looking at and thinking, right, we spoke about, you know, trying to be more attacking, forward thinking, all this kind of stuff. So we want more of the ball. But then again, Sheffield Wednesday seem to want more of the ball now as well. So it's going to be quite interesting to see who has more possession. But how do you think this will sort of pan out in the game in terms of who's going to keep more of the ball, patient style of play, or do you think it's just going to be cagey, you know, get the ball up here, let's try and just sort of attack in their third?
I think it will be cagey. I think it will be just purely the situation both clubs are in and both managers. It's not a must win for each for either manager, but it's a winnable game for each manager. They must be looking at this thing, especially Wayne Rooney, who quite rightly say, Sam, the games you've played, he's played against the teams are the top half teams. Whereas Millwall, they've got a new manager, so we were hopeful there because they didn't know how Joe Edwards was going to go. Obviously, that were Bristol City, they just got rid of Nigel Pearson, and then we played Rotherham, who was obviously, so we've had 3 games that have all been winnable, or you think you've got a bit of a winnable thing. Obviously, we only won 1 out of those 3. So now it's looking at Birmingham, and it's the same. You're not in a great position. You're not in great form. So it's Wednesday fans are looking at going, I think, yeah, it's a winnable game. We've got Leicester at home on Wednesday, on Wednesday night. That's not a winnable game. I'll be honest.
I don't think it's a winnable game for anybody in the league, to be honest, the way they're going.
So we've got to look at these and take that opportunity. So I think fans will be confident. I think the team will be confident. And we spoke just off before, didn't we, about the international break. We've both had international breaks where teams that are in great form are like, we don't want the international break. We want to carry on the form. Where I would have said, like, both our teams have gone, thank God for that. We've got 2 weeks on the training pitch. Let's get it nailed down. What we need to do against our opponents. And I'm just hoping that we've trained a bit harder than you guys.
Well, I mean, the Birmingham players are being put through their paces quite a bit because the demand that you know, the way we want to play now, it's very sort of forward thinking and it's back and forth and it's a lot of stamina required. So it will be, you know, a frenetic game, I think, with both teams just sort of trying to get the ball, dominate possession kind of thing. But in terms of sort of, we spoke about this on your channel, but like you asked me to sort of give a forecast of how I think the game's going to pan out. So I'm going to ask you, how do you think this game's going to pan out? And I already know your answer, but just let the people know what you think.
That's not fair. Like, you can't turn around my question onto myself.
It's such a good question. I feel like I've got to take it.
You can use it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Can use it. Of course. I do believe it's going to be a bit cagey. I do. I think you were right with the possession stats, and if that's the way that Rooney is also wanting to look to play, they're going to clash. Someone's got to give. It's not going to be a 50-50, is it, on possession? So there is someone's going to have the upper hand, and it's how you use that possession. And the stats are the 3 out of 5 that we've had a plus possession over our opponents is not turned into as many goal opportunities, goal chances, shots on goal, which we are really lacking in each game. I think it's going to be first half, it's going to be a bit cagey, possession based. I think both teams will have a lot of the ball. I really do. And then for me, I don't know Birmingham's position with substitutions and things like that, and your bench, if it's a strong bench because of players coming back or anything. But off the bench, we are a bit light. We're not scoring goals, like I said, with the first 11, and we haven't got anyone. We had a young guy, Bailey Cadamatre, that came on against Millwall. I think he plays for the under-19s, under-21s, he stepped up. But he had 45 minutes on Saturday against Millwall. Showed real good promise. Got a bit of pace. He's scoring goals for fun in the youth team. So I'm looking at him if he's going to be on the bench for a bit of inspiration if needed. But I'm going to go. The second half is going to open up a little bit more. Then it's whoever the team or whoever the manager is going to go. You get to say the 18 minutes. And do you want to win this game? Are you going to make changes and go for it? Or are you going to go, right, we've tried in 18 minutes, it's not quite working, we're going to take the point and try and defend the point? So I'm hoping Danny Rule is going to go for it. I really am. I think he might weigh Birmingham up for the first, like I say, first half, and then think second half, go for it. And then we'll just sneak a win. I think we'll just sneak a win. I know you've said you've shipped some goals lately, but I'd outweigh us our inability to score rather than your defensive frailties. So a 1-0 win for me in the second half, midway, probably 70th minute. I'm going to go that. And then us Wednesdayites will go back home, 5 o'clock, happy as anything. Looking out for a certain person's vlog.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and a certain person for Sheffield Wednesday will feature on the pitch who is sure to get hostile reception in Barry Bannon. I mean, he's someone that has played for Sheffield Wednesday for a number of years now. Sort of, what's your take on his Sheffield Wednesday career? Because he's been a vital player for you in your history the last few years.
He has. I think he's into his eighth season, I think it is now. Obviously, twilight of his career. He has been a great servant for the club. There is people. I mean, he's not been my favourite player. I'll put hand up and everything like that. He's not been my favourite player and thing, but I appreciate what he's done for the club. He's had multiple times he could have left, especially relegation. When we got relegated to League One, he could have left then. But he hasn't. He stuck to the club and he said he wanted to get back promoted, which he helped last season, of course. But he is that player that in the past has been able to unlock teams for us. Unfortunately, this season and the last couple of seasons, he's not contributed as many goals as he has done previously. Probably because of his age and the way he's playing, he's adapted his game. But I do love to see a 30-yarder Barry Bannon pinger, top corner. And he has done them in the past for Sheffield Wednesday. But yeah, I am sure he will get pelters from the Blues fans because, like you say, his allegiance to another team in Birmingham. So I'm sure he may have a little bit of bite in his play because of that. I know he did live in Birmingham for a few years and travelled to Sheffield when he first moved to Hillsborough. So I'm sure he's still got... Is it claret and blue, isn't it? I think, is it they're playing?
Yes.
I mean, you wouldn't know, would you?
You're saying earlier about not naming Munoz. I'm not naming that other club.
Yeah. So, it'd be another side dynamic for his game, obviously playing against one of the rivals of his previous club.
Gives that extra bit of edge, doesn't it? But just to end on what I usually sort of say to fans that come on that Birmingham are facing, is what's your sort of memories from the fixture in the past, games that you've been to perhaps or watched on the TV, sort of memories from dating back years, if you want, like, you know, Birmingham versus Sheffield Wednesday?
Sam, there's only one memory. And I think you may have seen the clip that's gone around in the last week or so. So it was 20, let me get this right, I think it was 2017. It was at St Andrews. I think Wednesday had gone 1-0 down. I mean, I'm rubbish with things, so I'm here. So it was, and it was the Gary Hooper game. Do you remember the guy, the supporter who was in the... should we call it the prawn sandwich seats?
And it just so happened to be all the away fans in front of them, and they just camera pans around, and you just see him staring at the window. That's the guy.
That's the one. That's my best memory of Birmingham. I haven't been to St Andrews. It's my first trip on Saturday. Looking forward to it. I'd love to tick the grounds off. But yeah, just purely for that, because of obviously, I think the first clip of it, he was giving the away fan, rightly so, some abuse when Birmingham scored and then Gary Hooper scored. And yes, it went a bit mental. And the poor guy, I'm sure he's still having that nightmare now. And if he's there on Saturday or if he was... was that just away fans just for that like season? Was it doing some redevelopment, or is that where the away fans are? Cause, like I say, I've not been.
No, it's where the away fans are. So it just so happens that we put one of these boxes right behind, the fans, and it's just one of the things where, you know, if it goes your way, you give them all the stick. Oh. But you've seen that way where if it doesn't, it could look rather embarrassing.
Yeah, it was for the poor guy. It was, but hey. It's one of those. That's what it's fans, aren't it? That's what the banter. Or I don't like that word, but you know, the mickey taking and all that sort of thing, when it's just like that and it was in the moment.
Sort of for them 90 minutes, you know, anything goes kind of thing, where, you know, you give it back and then, you know, after the 90 minutes, it's like whatever.
That's it. Of course, it is. And that for me is what it's about. It's great. I love that sort of thing. And that's one of the reasons, like, away, I do go to quite a few away games if I can. Mm. And that's what I do like. I like going to different places and all the fans and stuff. It just happens this season's not been the happiest of return homes from away games, because we haven't won one yet.
Oh, God. It's one of the things where, like, if I said it on your channel, like, if we've got sort of a record that another team's got where, like, it's been a certain amount of games where they haven't done something, you just know it's going to happen against us. It's one of the things where teams sort of seem to get lucky against us in that way.
Probably the same with us. Probably the same with every fan, isn't it? Mm. When there's something not going your way, there's always a stat that someone will go back to and say, well, you haven't beat us for 45 games, or we haven't scored in so many hours of football. Oh, it'll be against us that they'll score. So that's us. That'll be us. We've scored one. We've scored, what was it now? I think we've scored 2 goals in the last 9 games. We've only scored in 1 game. And that was a 2-0 win against Rotherham. So
how many goals from set pieces do you know?
None this season.
None this season from set pieces. Well, we've got a
1-0. We've only scored 7.
Set piece goal.
Yeah, that's it. 1-0. Chef Wednesday. Set piece, corner off somebody's bottom. There we go. I'll have that.
Yeah, well I said I was a bit more sort of optimistic on our side on your channel. So I said 2-1 Blues. I'm expecting both teams to score. It'd be one of the things where I think we'll need 2 goals to win it. So I'm hoping our attack can just sort of do the job, because we've got a lot of talent up front, and it's one of the things where if things get clicking, if the fans get up, then, I mean, regardless, it's going to be a good game. But if we get an early goal, then I could really see us getting a couple. So hopefully, sort of in the Birmingham fans' favour, it swings in our favour. But thanks for coming on the channel, Ash. It's been fantastic chat with you. If you want to plug all your socials, or, you know, what's coming up in the future, go ahead.
Oh, cheers, Sam. No, thank you for having us on. Really appreciate talking. I mean, talk about Sheffield Wednesday is great. It just wish it'd be in happier times. I mean, I could talk about, like, lots of goals and games and things like that, but it's not. But yeah, we're all over the socials. Just search for the Wednesday Week, Twitter, YouTube. Obviously, for yourself coming on our channel, and everyone will be able to see both shows, no doubt, very soon. So it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. And you'll be at the game on Saturday, so all the best sort of in the away end. I'm sure it's going to be a good atmosphere, and the Wednesday fans will make a lot of noise, so it'll make for a great atmosphere. And it's my first game actually watching Rooney in the stadium, so it'll be sort of a great chance to see up close, you know, what the players are like, because hopefully I can be a lucky omen, because in the past with Birmingham managers, I seem to not be a lucky omen whenever I go to games. So hopefully it changes around this time, and it'll be great to chat to some of the fans at the ground as well. And just want to give a quick shout out as well to the fans that voted for us at the Football Content Awards. We won a gold award actually for our best Football League content creator. So thank you so much to everybody that voted for us, and just wanted to give a quick shout out, because this is the first video we've made since the awards ceremony. So just thank you so much for everybody that's voted, and a lot more videos like this coming where we have good chats with Championship fans and have a bit of a laugh really.
So you should have said before, Sam, I'd have put a tie on smarting up like award winners. Blooming heck. I didn't realise I was coming on an award-winning show. Well done.
Yes. Award-winning Blues focus now. So everything's on the up. And let's hope for some positives on the pitch as well, because that's the main thing. But thank you so much for everybody who watched this video. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, comment what your score is going to be, and keep right on.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around, you've got your McNugget share box ready to go, your mates are already booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.